Good evening and welcome everyone. I would like to especially welcome you to be here tonight on when the roads are not so nice, but recognize once again that we meet on unceded Willistoquet territory, and for those of you who are of Scottish heritage, that you may be eating the haggis later tonight, or I'm quite disappointed that we had pork instead of haggis.
We'll talk to the caterer.
It's Robbie Burns night tonight, but I also heard on the radio coming up that it's Irish coffee day, so what is it with the Irish trying to take away Robbie Burns' poetry?
We rest our case.
You all have a copy of the agenda. I have an addition to make under new business, but that's normal. That we will just have a note on the North Side study under new business. Other than that, are there any other changes for the agenda? Seeing none, then that would be passed by consent. And you've all received a copy. Oh, sorry, Mark.
Well, no, it was passed by consent, but where's the success stories going?
Under.
Sorry, I don't have a word version. I can't call it.
I think we should have success stories before the superintendent monitoring reports.
Okay.
Remind me. And you've all received a copy of the minutes of the December meeting. Are there any errors or omissions from those minutes? They were short and sweet. Seeing none, those minutes then would be as well passed by consent. And moving on to business arising from the minutes. Oh, before we do that, I would like to welcome the staff people that have joined us here from the district. And I'm going to let, I can't even remember your name, Catherine, introduce them. I fell twice last week and hit my head, and I'm going to use that for the rest of the year as my reason for forgetting things.
So Director of Communication, Judy Cole is with us, and Sean Tracy, who is our Director of Finance and Administration. And Sean's helping with the reports tonight.
And Jay may be joining us.
Jay is coming up later on, but he plans on dropping it. Yes.
We won't stop and introduce him as he comes in.
Yeah.
We'll just stop and stare at him. So, business arising from the minutes, I see Jane has her hand up.
I just have a question about the acting superintendent monitoring report, ER2, Academic Excellence, from the minutes from last meeting. And I apologize that I wasn't at this meeting, I don't believe. Are my regrets here anywhere? Yeah, they're there. And so I'm just curious. I see that there's a note here that Mark indicated that there was some concern that the assessment results were not released in time for this monitoring report. And I see that they have now been released.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't see in the newspaper, I see here tonight just as for information purposes. And I see an action item indicating that these things will be communicated to the department. So two questions. One, was there a letter sent to the department about this?
You want the answer to that question now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, there wasn't. The minister had met with the superintendents, and the concern over that was expressed by a superintendent, and the concern from the decks was relayed at the same time. So I didn't feel it was necessary to write a letter.
Okay. And my other question is related to the public comments made by the department stating that the reason the assessments were so late in getting out was because they were short-staffed at the department. So they couldn't put everything together. So specifically my question is, when do they mark these tests? Like, have they had the results for a while and then just didn't have enough people to put them together? Did they not get them marked until December?
That would be a question that we'd have to direct down to the department to answer.
So could we do that? please?
You can do that next week at the minister's forum.
Oh, okay, then I will. All right. Remind me.
I'll write it down.
Is that the end of your questioning?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Okay. Anyone else?
So, Jane will bring us back the answers to those at our next meeting?
I'll try to do my best to do that, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And if something happens and you don't get there, then we'll try to do that.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to go on record as being very thankful the assessment results are out and that the reporters did not have to file access to information because it took so long. And as far as staffing, and it's unfortunate. I'm not sure I necessarily believe it. I think they could have been honest right from the start instead of releasing them and a press release saying it's short. And no assessments for grade 4 and 10. They could have told us that a long time ago. Again, you know, I have trouble with their lack of transparency, so I just want to express those concerns.
Thank you. I will ask as well about the 4 and 10. As a former high school teacher, it concerns me that there aren't assessments. We used to be done at grade 11 level, and to not have them at the grade 11 or grade 10 level in mathematics, I think that's of a concern. Anyone else? Anyone have anything else from the minutes? Okay. We don't have any correspondence to bring to the table tonight. I did send a letter to the minister indicating the choice from the deck for First Nations seat, and we haven't heard back yet. So we're into the new business. First, we've had an offer to present the results of the Northside study. If you remember, the district staff has done that for us. And I at first thought that we should wait until March because February is a little busy, but I haven't heard anyone ask for a report on the results of the assessment for February. That question was not asked. Is that still an interest? So anyway.
Is that from the getting of your head?
Yes. In the middle of that, I thought of something else. So we had planned to do the results of the Northside study in March. However, that will be back here again in Woodstock. And the Northside, of course, is the Northside of Fredericton. So it would be better if we could have that study results presented in Fredericton so any of the members of PSSEs or the public can attend that meeting. So it's moved back to Fredericton again. So the results of the Northside study will be part of February's agenda. And now do I have a request about anything else for February's agenda? Sean?
I see a discussion on the assessment results.
Assessment results. Anything in particular or just a general
presentation
from district staff?
As we only got these a half hour ago, I don't have enough details to answer what.
So let's leave it that if you have something in particular you would like addressed, you'll send Catherine a message to that effect. Is that okay?
The French immersion would be interesting. That's always, it would be interesting to hear that big gap in the emergency.
So are you looking for, just to, for my own clarification, you're looking for a presentation regarding the assessment results and response?
Well, we do talk, or we can wait till, I guess in May, we'll be talking about that again, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Sean, are you looking for a presentation, or are you just want to ask questions?
Well, for myself, it's probably just more around asking questions.
Okay.
Well, the only question that I might have is if we have detailed breakdowns. So, when we have, if we take, for example, one of the numbers, we have an ASDW number. We have that broken down by schools. We can have that as well.
Yes, individual school results.
So if we can have those presented or provided to us.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Good. Anyone else? All right. Let us know with lots of time if there's anything else that you have that you'd like addressed in that. Now, where were we? Oh, success stories. Somebody else has my copy, so who are we?
Tobik Valley is first.
Tobik Valley is first. Tanya.
I'm Tanya Adams from Sub-District 1, which covers from St. Mary's in Edmundston to Perth Amboy. So Tobik Valley High School, which is in Plaster Rock. Teachers have committed to allowing students the opportunity to resubmit assignments and redo tests to improve their learning. Prior to a resubmission or retest, students must complete a checklist to demonstrate what they will do differently in order to improve their mark. They may need to study a component more carefully or require extra help in a particular outcome. Once this extra work is completed, an assignment can be resubmitted or redone. This ensures students have ownership of their own learning and helps students better understand the outcomes they are focused on. St. Mary's Academy in Edmundston. Students participate in math interventions each morning. Students are learning how to skip camp while moving to the beat.
I'd like to learn how to do that. While moving to the beat. Thank you. Thank you. Those are both exciting. Who's next?
Sean Winslow from District 8, Boyle Road Elementary. The school has introduced a new breakfast programming with sponsorship from Tim Hortons. I apologize if I mispronounce this. Bose Ministries?
Boas.
Sorry. And Journey Wesleyan Church, providing financial support and volunteers. And once a month, the grade 5 leadership students of Boyle Road Elementary's walk down to Windsor Court and visit with the seniors for a one-hour engagement.
Good. Thank you.
Terry Pond, Sub-District 7, which is the southeast side of Fredericton. Liverpool Street School. The school is now home for many newcomers to Canada. They have, and these students have adjusted extremely well and are doing well academically. Every day they are making connections to our curriculum and making it relative to their life experiences. We are proud of them.
Good.
Mark Noel, Sub-District 13. Summerhill Elementary School. School is very pleased with the Math Flexible Group Initiative. This is year three of a three-year plan to examine math achievement and the impact of grouping and regrouping of students for math instruction. The school is seeing many teacher and student leadership opportunities that support our school improvement plan goal of fostering shared leadership among all. The best example is that of a grade 5 peer leadership team that supports respect, responsibility, and safety in our school. And also Ridgeview School, Middle School, staff and students continue to strengthen their relationship with the ASDW Healthy Learners Team through monthly enrichment clusters. The Healthy Learners Team facilitates a healthy cooking enrichment cluster that allows students to follow recipes, prepare a menu of healthy choices, and sample their results. Students receive a hard copy of the menu, recipes, and directions for future use. This partnership promotes literacy and numeracy outcomes while teaching cooking skills to students. There we go. Any questions?
No, but just a reminder that you can remind your PSSCs if they have pictures to accompany any of their success stories, snapshots. If they have real snapshots to go with them, then Judy can get those put up with the list of the stories. And the meeting that I have with the PSSC chairs, they're excited to read those, and they read other schools to see what they're doing as well. So, good. Superintendent monitoring report. Oh, sorry.
Where did they send the pictures? To Carol or?
Judy.
Sorry.
So I think we're on, Superintendent. Madam Superintendent.
So our first report tonight is budgeting and forecasting, and I'm going to send it down to Sean.
So this screen has a presentation. That screen has the actual monitoring report. I'll be working off this screen. You feel like Vanna. So with the third quarter, we currently have a total budget of $222,147,315. And as of the third quarter, which is based on the November 30th GL, we're at $54,755 currently. So we have a few areas of concern in the budget. Replacement costs for supply teachers, drivers, custodians, and EAs were higher at the third quarter than they were at the second quarter. And so we've adjusted our forecast to the end of March to account for that. So we still, even with that, we have a surplus, but if it goes beyond that, you know, we could have some issues there. Also with bus operations, the price of the diesel fuel is more expensive per liter than it is for the funded cost that we're given. So clearly an issue there, as well as with heating fuel and energy costs, right? We've had some really cold weather this winter, so that has an impact on our budget as well. And also minor repairs, a number of schools required additional repairs to their heating systems on those days when it was really cold. So we had some additional costs there. Our budget is organized into groupings of salaries and operations. So salaries makes up 88% of our budget to the tune of $195 million, and then 12% in operations, $27 million. That is that part of it. Then we have this part. It's really small, and I'm not going to read it to you. But this basically is the third quarter report, the roll-up report that we send to education as part of our quarterly forecast, and then they use that to roll into their quarterly forecast, which roll into the province's forecast. So you can see here we have the different buckets of areas like instruction, education support services, programs, information technology, facilities, transportation, district operations, and benefits. And at the bottom over here you can see it's $54,755 is the current surplus, which is 0.02% of our total budget. So it's pretty tight there. Budget for the District Education Council. You have a total budget of $50,000. You have expenses to date of $25,500 with $24,500 remaining. So healthy budget, more than enough there to last in for less than this fiscal year. So that is EL4, and there's a requirement under that reports have a motion to approve the third quarter report as presented to council. So I can do that.
We have a motion put on the floor so you can ask questions. Miriam, make the motion, or you had a question?
I was going to make the motion.
Okay. And you're seconding it?
Yep.
Okay. Questions for Sean? Through me. Mark?
General question is, do you feel, as far as this report, there's any reason that we won't finish in the black? Like, this is pretty conservative, optimistic.
Yeah, barring any, you know, emergency or shortfall and entries coming from central government for different contracts and things, we should be fine.
Where's the government? I know we're allowed to carry over 100,000. Where's the government on changing that? Because we were allowed to carry over 100,000 when we had a $40 million budget, and now we have a $222 million budget. It's like threading a needle. People don't understand.
Yeah. So there there actually is some positive movement to changing that.
Right.
And there's currently a change to the regulations that is out for public review and comment. So there's a government website that basically has different regulations that government is entertaining making changes, and that one is on that radar. So I reviewed it. Basically, for a district our size, if it was approved, we would be able to retain $500,000.
Is it amount or a percentage?
It's an amount. I was hoping for a percentage, but at least $500,000 is better than $100,000. And it is, if you translate it to a percentage, it's roughly, you know, 2% or 1.67, something like that.
Well, better than current. The new solar panels on top of the school there at FHS, what does that mean for us in terms of operation, maintenance, making money,
We do have a signed agreement with NV Power and Education. It's a three-way partnership as far as our responsibilities go. The maintenance of the actual units and stuff is actually NV Power's responsibility. So we don't have any ongoing minor repair costs associated with that. And one of the concerns that I had was about snow removal and all that. And we haven't seen any issue with that. The snow may collect for the day that it snows, and then the next day when either the sun comes out or whatever, there's enough energy there to melt the snow off the solar. And we started getting some reports on, there's actually a dashboard that we have access to that can show the consumption, and then the offsetting feed in from the day's operation of the solar panel. It's pretty interesting stuff. I'm not a technical expert in it, but I did have a chance to go on and look at it, and it's pretty neat.
I forgot, as an addendum to that, in the December meeting you asked me to write
a letter
to the minister? Yeah, asking for the appropriate people, and so I asked John who that would be, and he told me, so I wrote the letter and asked for and said that the deck would be supportive of solar panels and any buildings, and that we thought perhaps if the two schools that are going to be in midlife upgrades would be appropriate, we'd support that. So I did write that letter. I forgot to tell you during communications. We'll post that on the portal, that letter.
Sure, just one more question. I'm not sure who would answer it, but in terms of budget, I know there's replacement clause for supply room, supply teachers, et cetera. But from what I understand, if a librarian is out, there is no replacement, and that library could or has been shut down. I'm just wondering, I guess, does that happen often? What's the rationale? What's the situation around that?
My understanding that's a union agreement, contract agreement with the union. Am I right?
Well, actually, when we receive our budget, we actually don't receive a replacement budget for library assistance in a budget. However, if we do have a long-term absence of more than 30 days, we would replace. And we have a couple of instances of that this year where we have engaged a replacement library assistant. We don't do the short term absences just because we don't have a budget line for that purpose. So the school just adjusts their usage for the period of time that person's out.
Up to 30 days.
So 30 days is a long time to go without a library.
Well, yes, they can. Yeah, when it comes down to them going into the library, no issue there. It comes down to maintaining the assistant rank, signing out books and that stuff. They can't do work at the bargaining unit for library assistance, but they can still have access.
Okay. I was thinking about the increased cost and replacement of personnel, and the fact that that certainly through the media we're being encouraged to not go to work and not go in out in the public if we are not well with the current strains of flu that are going. So I'm wondering if that will have impact on our replacement.
Good question.
Just something for us to keep an eye on. Yes, Wallace.
Just one question, I guess, is on the total education and support services. Is that like our EAs? And
yes, it is. That's EAs. And
I just see we're running a fairly big deficit there. Is that because we're only funded for so many and we've added? Or
yes. Yeah.
How is the funding established on that from the province?
Well, it's based on what we had last year and then adjusted for what we ask to serve. That's the easy way to answer it. We certainly, if we put in, my understanding is we put in this year what we actually booked, that we probably won't get funded for at all. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes. We are probably, I would say, at least 50 EAs over and above what we're funded for. Yeah. And
we've provided that information to you, the department. They're aware of how many that we're over. So
is that traditionally a light item that is
underfunded?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Question, yours, do libraries fall under?
They fall under the school management support area.
Do schools get money for books? I know a lot of schools are getting these entering contests and things for books. I was just wondering if there's a budget for that.
What they did, they used to get an actual line item for library books, and during the course of the funding model changes when we amalgamated, they basically gave me one line for schools, which is instructional resources. Now, for a school to get one number to run their entire budget is problematic because they're used to working out of buckets of money. So we have basically distributed that across what they normally would see, and just left the library materials within instructional materials. If they need to order materials from their library, they order it from there. So the official line is that they still have library materials, just not a dedicated budget line. So it gives schools discretion as to where they can spend it.
So it falls under the
school management support area. Our schools that have public libraries, they're managed by New Brunswick Public Libraries. They do receive a yearly allocation of resource materials for their libraries because they're sort of outside of the school, but the school has the library. So that in those schools, they wouldn't be using instructional dollars to support those libraries because those libraries have their own allocation.
Okay, and just so I'm clear on it, at one time there was a separate got a library budget,
yes,
merged with something else. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can't hear anything you're saying, but I don't need to repeat it.
Anyone else? Behave yourself. And it's difficult if you're managing a school to take money out of instructional resources, buying textbooks and whatever equipment might be needed, and use it to buy books for libraries. So,
all in favor?
Any other questions on this? So we have a motion on the table.
Question?
Question's been called. All in. What's the motion again?
Accepting the third quarter report.
Accepting it. Okay, all in favor of accepting the third quarter report, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded, nay. Abstentions? I heard that, Mark. Motion's carried anyway. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
He's staying around for the next
two. He's staying around for the next two, yeah. the next report is effective use of schools. Sean can speak to this.
So this is effective use of schools, and this report basically is a summary of information about our number of schools, the number of schools that we have modular classrooms in. So we have 15 schools that currently house a total of 40 modular classrooms in our district, 69 schools total. We have a number of configurations that you can see in the report for the style schools that we have. So I won't read out all of those. We have the early French immersion point that started in September of 2017, grade one. That was new for us this year. Total enrollment in September was 22,749 students, which was down 152 students from the prior year. We have currently registered in our district 336 international students through our newcomer support center. Functional capacity is something I'm going to deal with more in EL7. A couple of things that are in this report that will be reviewed in the future is the pending decision around the sustainability study at Kings Clear Elementary School and February's meeting, as well as the north side of Fredericton Elementary School, and the results will be in February as well. And currently, Ernst & Young is conducting a study of the town of Oronto schools, looking at options for reconfiguration and replacement schools. So they're looking at our middle schools and all of the feeder schools in the town of Oromocto, but not outside of Oromocto. And that report is scheduled to be completed by March 31st with the options there, which will be in time for our discussions around major capital list and things in May when we actually produce that. Program for education. So that is EL6. Now, somewhere between my office and here, I have made notes on EL7. I don't have it. I want to go grab it if I can.
Sure.
On the report for EL7.
Is that the next one?
Yeah. Yes. Get your questions ready if you have any on EL6 for when he gets back in. Before Sean starts his report on EL7, does anyone have any questions on EL6? Seeing none. You're good to go, Sean.
Okay. So EL7, sustainability of schools. Again, here this policy is based and grounded in the policy, provincial policy 409, which is a multi-year school infrastructure planning policy, which we use to do a number of things, prepare our major capital list being one, sustainability of schools, reconfiguration of schools. It's covered in that policy. Newsworthy in this report, again, it's mentioned of the table decision of the sustainability study in Kings Clear. We we have as part of this policy, there's a description in here about the triggered school and what makes up a triggered school. Functional capacity below 30% or a school that is dropped below 100 pupils. So we typically see that list generated late March, early April, somewhere in there. So we have it in advance of our meeting in May. So I've done some for the analysis on what it looks like for our schools in 2017 in relation to that. So we have a number of schools that are under the 100 students. You can see them in the report. We also have a number of schools that are below the 30% as well. And some of them are ones that we have seen before, right? So when it comes to functional capacity, they're basically, if a school is between 60 and 80% functional, it's optimal. If it's below between 40 and 60, it's, you know, it's an operating well school, you know, it's not, it's okay, it's functional. When it drops below 30%, that's when it becomes potentially could be a resourcing issue, you know, that's when it opens the door to looking at the school under this policy as it's currently written. So that is the 7 report.
Questions on that one? Mark?
I was just looking to, I don't know if this question falls under these reports, this one or the previous one, but I know there was a recommendation a while ago about Ernst & Young changing some boundaries in relation to Leo Hayes and the then superintendent looking at it in the future but decided to do very little at the time. I guess where are we going with that if that falls under this report? So I'm not out of order.
So those changes that were approved by council to happen are actually slated to take place for Leo Hayes in next school year. So we're currently working on a communication plan with transportation to notify parents that are affected about where their kids will in the future, because we've gone through we've passed the grandfather year. So now the students that fall under the changes that were there will be informed and notified which bus that their child will be going on to go to their new school.
And so from what I understand, this was a kind of a modified plan, but there was mention of looking at a couple of specific areas in the future, and I'm wondering, do we need to look at those? I know our current superintendent's new and getting up to speed, so I'm not sure if you're aware of the commitment that was made to look at those areas we decided not to touch, and will they have to be touched in order to balance out the enrollment?
So are we going to have the reduction in enrollment at Leo Hayes that we were looking for?
Right.
So, as part of our normal process that we do when we look at our multi-year plan for schools and such, enrollment analysis is part of that. So as part of the Southside study and the Leo Hayes reconfiguration study, that's all tied into enrollment and what's going to happen in the Fredericton area. So we have the current study that's being done on the north side, where we've done some projections as well, which redistributes potentially children from different schools to create capacity on the north side of Fredericton. So, you know, in the future, as far as Leo Hayes go, one of the things that Kevin had said to us, Kevin was said from Ernst & Young, said, you know, we need to go back in a couple of years and check our projections to make sure that we're actually getting the net effect of the boundary changes that we made. And if we are not, and we still are pushing, you know, needing additional space at Leo Hayes, then we would have to go back.
So we're not there yet?
We're not there yet,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yes, Jane.
I'm just wondering, I'm looking at these numbers again here. Sean, can you lean back just so I can see, Sean? I'm just looking at these numbers here, and I've been kind of reminded on a regular basis about the many, many renovations that are happening at the Burton Street School, Burton Elementary School. And there's also a study going on in Oromocto from Ernst & Young right now. Is that what I understand?
Yes.
So,
just for the
so will is it a wise use of our money?
Burton isn't part of that study.
Yeah, it's not part of that study. It's just the town of Oromocto schools.
Oh my God, I can't wait for the politics to change down there next time. Okay.
Did you get an answer to your question?
Yep.
Okay. Anyone else have questions?
Thank you, Sean.
Okay. Keep in mind, it wouldn't hurt to memorize all of these numbers because we're going to need them in the next few months. Mark is laughing. If you have a tattoo, then make sure it's erasable because the numbers will change.
Less than.
Thank you very much. Committee reports. It's my understanding that the policy committee wasn't going to meet before this meeting, but you will have something for us at the next one.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get something set up with Stacy, preferably before the information session.
Okay, and refresh my memory again, what policies you're bringing in next?
I believe it's the EL series, the ones that we're working on.
Okay.
What happened to this LBQ
thing?
To the LBQ thing?
Netflix original.
Netflix, okay.
Netflix original miniseries.
Okay, all right, good. And Terry?
Yes. In the fall, I was put on the DHAT, District Health Advisory Committee. We had our first meeting just before our last information session. I didn't know a lot about what they did, so it was a real learning curve for me. They have spent a lot of their time this fall implementing the new integrated service delivery program within the schools, because as the title says, a lot of the public health people and visit coordinators and things like that are on that committee. They have a lot of things going. And Tim Hortons is now doing, as Sean mentioned about his school, but there are 8 schools in the district that Tim Hortons is now supporting the breakfast program. Cora's, through Breakfast Clubs of Canada, is also supporting breakfast programs in schools. So that there are a lot more agencies getting involved and a fair amount of money being invested in feeding our children healthy things, and that doesn't mean that they're getting Tim Hortons food or Cora's food. It means that they're...
What did you say?
A large double-double.
Yeah. And a lot of schools have backpack programs. There's and so that there's a lot of things going on. Something I had never heard before, the new health guide is 5-2-1-0, and that's 5 fruits and vegetables daily, 2 hours of screen time, a maximum of 2 hours of screen time, 1 hour of exercise, and 0 calorie drinks. So
they're promoting aspartame?
So we're promoting aspartame and Splenda. No, this is what they're going for. But They are supposed to meet four times a year, and this time of year we'll probably only meet twice.
No filter.
But we have one more meeting. Some of the things that functions, and I don't know how many people would know what they did, and I didn't before this, and I have them right here, and I'll just go through those, and that will end my report. But the functions of the advisory committee are to participate in the needs assessment process, initial and ongoing, determine health promotion and primary prevention priorities, support the development of work plans using the comprehensive school health framework, support coordination and shared implementation of health promotion, and did I just read that one? Health promotion, primary prevention activities based on the work plan, assist in annual evaluation of the work plan progress, and review terms of references annually. So, and they are, like I said, to meet four times a year. Any questions? I might be able to answer them.
What was the 1-5210?
521, 1 hour of exercise.
Oh, of course, that's why I didn't know that one.
Are they recommending any changes to policy 711?
Not yet. And this is at the district level. So.
And it's good to hear that that our health committee is working with the integrated service delivery model. That's
very good.
Yeah. Anyone else have any questions of Terry or Sean? Everyone? And we, as far as I know, that's all for committee reports. Heather may have had one from curriculum, because they were waiting on one the last time, but unfortunately she's not able to be here tonight. That's it? Okay, do we have any public comments? No public comments? Closing comments? Is this a new record?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
We don't have any press here.
Any what?
Press?
Media.
Oh, media? Awesome. There, I was just hoping we would have media. Not that. They weren't at one of our meetings, and I was wondering, because I know there was changes at the at the Gleaner.
Yes. So, are you here representing the Woodstock?
The Bugle, yes, but I'm also reporting
connected.
If the Gleaner wants anything as well.
Okay.
I'm not too sure if they send anybody when you guys are in Fredericton, but I'll make sure I'll mention it to them.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess that was my point, because there was a change. We had lost a couple, and it would be great to have media, you know, in Fredericton.
Yes.
Because everything we say and do is very, very important. So.
I know Tara did a lot of it. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Are we done, really?
Yeah.
Like, what did I forget?
I move we adjourn.
Okay.
I accept.
Adjourn. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
See you in
February.
Our next meeting will be in Fredericton, and we'll have a working session in Fredericton as well before that.
Yes.